All right, so now let's move on to the next part of our class, and we're going to talk about iris constitutional subtypes based on the color of the iris. So this is different. Instead of just looking at the three iris types, the blue, brown, and mixed, we're going to break it down even further. So we've got three different constitutional subtypes, okay? So we learned about the lymphatic, which is the blue respiratory lymphatic constitutional type, okay? We learned about the mixed biliary, right, which is has the digestive weakness. And then we learned about the hematogenic, which is the brown iris, okay? And so now we're going to break these down even further. And this what this does is this breaks the iris down further so that you can get into the different personalities. You can get into the different the individual strengths and weaknesses of people and the genetic backgrounds, okay? And, you know, it's a lot more accurate than just saying, you know, you're a blue-eyed respiratory and you have respiratory lymphatic weakness and just put somebody in that category because it's very general. It's a very general category. So this way, we break it down even further. So on a blue eye, we have overacid, febrile, hydrogenoid, uric acid, diathesis, and scurfrim. Okay, those are the subtypes for color. Okay, then for mixed biliary, we have the ferrum chromatose and the tiger striping. And we have hydrogenoid also, okay, for the mixed biliary. And then hematogenic, we have the ferrum chromatose and the tiger striping. Okay. Then we also can break it even down in a different way, in such a way which is subtypes based on the iris structure. Okay, now if we break it down based on the iris structure, we have four types, and they're all the same. It doesn't matter if it's a blue eye, a mixed eye, or a brown eye. Okay, so it doesn't matter if it's a blue eye, a mixed eye, or a brown eye. You have four subtypes based on the structure. You've got neurogenic, you've got anxiety tetanic, you've got polyglandular, and you've got connective tissue. So when you see a client, what you do now is you're going to tell them, yes, you're a blue eye, a mixed eye, or a brown eye. But then you're going to go further, and you're going to say, your subtype is, and you're going to choose one of these subtypes, okay? Because people are going to fall into one of these subtypes. So it's your job to figure out which subtype, okay? And let me tell you, this takes time. Right now, we're going to go over all these, and it's going to feel very overwhelming, okay? And what we're going to do after we go over this is I have 20 case studies on here that we're going to go through 20 case studies, and we're going to determine what all the subtypes are. We'll look at all the things that we talked about, the different markings, so make sure that you understand everything. And then you're going to have to go and digest all this stuff and practice, okay? All right, so let's move forwards. So we have overacid, we have febrile, we have hydrogenoid, we have uric acid diathesis, and we have scurfrim. These are the four, again, these are the four subtypes for a blue eye. Okay, so when somebody walks in, first thing you do is you look at it and you determine what their eye color is. Okay, your blue eye, your mixed eye, or your brown eye. That's the key, and then you can break it down. Okay, let's talk about overacid. Okay, here is an iris that's overacid. And you know, we can get another iris up here that's even more acid. But overacid means, we already know what overacid means because we talked about it yesterday, but overacid means that it's a blue eye with a lot of white in it. Okay, a lot of white. Acidic body, arthritic tendencies, kidneys need extra help. Person probably has allergies, may have fibromyalgia, okay? And so when you look at this, you want to consider everything for a lymphatic eye, for a blue eye, all right? this is an over-asset eye, and this can be brighter. Okay, I had an iris before that I showed that was an over-asset eye that had a lot of white. It's just a blue eye with a lot of white.
Does degree of whiteness doesn't change the subtype?
The degree of whiteness does not change the subtype, and you'll see that what changes the subtype is the markings. Okay, so the degree of whiteness will, you know, this could be brighter, it can be a little darker, and that then you look at, you're going to be looking at the colors, whether it be light gray, dark gray, you know, those things that we talked about. Okay, so when you think of over acid, you think of pain, inflammation. So you think of a blue eye with white. Okay, that's over acid. Okay, febrile. Febrile means it's everywhere. Okay, notice the difference between the eye that I just showed, which was a blue eye with a lot of white, versus this eye. This eye has white everywhere. Febrile means that it's everywhere. It means it's hot. It's hot. Okay, extremely white, more white than the over-acid subtype.
Okay, so there's a degree of whiteness.
There's a lot much more white in a febrile than there is in an overacid. Okay, this one here, tendencies, acute conditions. These people tend to have fevers, especially as a child. As a matter of fact, this person has a fever right now of 102 and had it for 6 days. Tendency for arthritis. This person has arthritis. Tendency for respiratory infections. This person gets a lot of respiratory infections. Again, consider everything for lymphatic eye. So you're going to go back. You're going to look at this. You're going to determine, okay, this is a lymphatic eye, and it's febrile. It has white everywhere. So it's febrile, meaning hot everywhere, okay? And then you're going to look at everything that is suggested for a blue eye, for a blue-eyed lymphatic. Everything for that you would use for this one here. Okay, so drinking lots of water, eliminating acidic foods, I think the whole 30. Any for the blue-eyed lymphatic, any kind of a dietary program like the whole 30, which is no dairy, no grains, you know, eliminating foods out of the diet that don't create acidity and inflammation in the body. So those two food types, those are your dairy and your grains, those create inflammation in the body. You want to take those out, okay? Calm, peaceful, walking, yoga, anything to relax, anything to calm. And then, of course, anything to help eliminate uric acid out of the body. So safflowers, anything uva ursi, anything to help remove uric acid out of the body. Skin brushing. There's many things. Okay, so that's the difference between a over acid and a febrile. So now we're going to go to the hydrogenoid. Okay, hydrogenoid is easy to remember. It's a blue eye with flocculations. Okay, it's a blue eye with flocculations. Flocculations are these tophi. Remember, this is a lymphatic rosary. Okay, this is very key. Blue or blue-gray, and this is a blue-gray. Notice how it's not a bright blue eye. This is more of a kind of a grayish eye. Okay, so it's a blue or blue-gray eye with small white to off-white flocculations. Okay, that is the key. Okay, these people tend to have lymphatic congestion in their body. Okay, they tend to retain fluids. They have, if there's more than a few of these tophi in the lung area, which this is because this is the left eye and these are the lungs, then we know that there can be ancestral history of TB, okay, respiratory congestion. These people can have allergies, have a weak digestion. They can have rheumatoid arthritis in the family, an overactive immune system. So they can have food allergies. They can have allergies to dust and pollens. They could have eczema, asthma, diarrhea, arthritis, bronchitis, and other things. There again, you work with a lymphatic constitution, okay, because it's a blue eye. Drinking lots of water, skin brushing, exercising to move the lymph. Avoid all mucus-forming foods, so especially cheese, all dairy, wheat, okay, sugar, all right? And wherever these tophi appear, this is where there can be swollen lymph nodes. Okay, so lymphatic massage, anything to move the lymph. Okay, so now you see there's three, those three, how different they are. Now, uric acid diathesis. This is also a blue eye. Okay, this is a blue eye. Now, on this one, notice the tophi, how big they are. They're like swollen. Okay, so that is the difference between a hydrogenoid, which has small tophi, okay, small flocculations, versus the uric acid diathesis, which has large flocculations. Okay, I'm giving you the keys so that you can pick it out pretty easy. Okay, that's the key with this. Okay, thick white, yellowish white, or grayish white plaques, okay, in the ciliary zone. So these are going to be large, all right? These tophi, and there's going to be a lot of them, and they're going to go all the way around. They're big, okay, like they're swollen, all right? So these people tend to have rheumatic or arthritis issues, gout, kidney inflammation, possible stones, high levels of uric acid, okay? And there again, consider everything for blue-eyed lymphatic eye, okay? Suggestions for food, eliminate all red meat and pork. Take inorganic minerals, juices high in organic sodium, and avoid dairy. I mean, I suggest that people avoid dairy and grains anyway, because I know that it causes inflammation in the body, and most people are stressed out, so they create enough inflammation just from the stress in their life. Don't need to add it with diet. Avoid brewer's yeast and organ meats and coffee. Okay, so if you see somebody like this walk in that you know there's a blue eye and they have the large tophi, you know that is uric acid diathesis. Okay, this is a real easy one. Scrofarin. So when the person walks in with this, the first thing that's going to happen, you're going to look at their eye and the first thing you're going to see is a scrofarin. All right? When you see that, it's a blue eye, and it's like that. This is so obvious. Look at that scrofarin. When you see that scrofarin on a blue eye, this is, the subtype is a scrofarin type. Okay? This is a scrofarin type. So now you see how we're breaking it down further. Okay, these people have problems with skin elimination, skin disorders such as acne, psoriasis, eczema. Their kidneys are overstressed. Okay, they have a tendency for poor circulation, cold hands and feet. There again, all consider everything for a lymphatic constitution. Okay, so this is a scrofarin. And I see this a lot. I see this a lot. You know, I always talking about Facebook. I see this a lot with people that post pictures on Facebook. I see this a lot with people that that I see. And I see a lot of hydrogenoid, at least for the people in my area here in California. Lots of hydrogenoid. Okay, so that's the scrofarin. So when you see the big scrofarin like this and you know that it's a blue eye, that is the scrofarin subtype. Okay, so those are for the blue eye. Okay, so we have uric acid, we have febrile, we have hydrogenoid, we have scrofarin, and we have uric acid diathesis. Okay, and so they all have their distinguished markings that you look for. Okay, so now on a biliary constitution, we have tiger striping, We have hydrogenoid again. Remember what hydrogenoid is. It doesn't matter hydrogenoid. It doesn't matter if it's in a blue eye or a mixed eye or a brown eye. It's those big flocculations, the puffy flocculations, okay? So let's look at this. Tiger striping. So we see this is a mixed eye, and we see these stripes. Can you see the stripes? Okay, that's tiger striping. And even in a brown eye, it looks like this, where the striping goes from, you know, it can go right from the assimilation ring all the way out, or it can start here at the collarette and go out. But this is tiger striping. And you'll see that with the flashlight magnifying glass. You can see it. All of these markings you can see pretty easily. Okay, so what does that mean? And it's called snuff tobacco, brown snuff tobacco, which is interesting. And it's liver. Okay, so we talked about mixed biliary. We talked about mixed biliary people having problems with digestive tracts, right? Okay, with liver, gallbladder, pancreas, stomach, everything having to do with digestion. So liver insufficiencies, digestive problems, okay, difficulty with fat metabolism. So if you know that, you want to always look you want to always look at the sclera, okay? Look at the sclera to see if they have problems in the sclera with the fat buildup in the sclera, okay? Difficulty with iron absorption, okay? They may be anemic, all right? Liver wear and tear, possible difficulty with anemia. Okay, this is the mixed biliary tiger stripe. Okay, these people need to avoid fried foods and heated oils. And this is all in my notes. So if you remember, go to the PowerPoint and go to the view, and you can look at the notes, and you'll have all this. Eat lots of bitter greens, such as kale, beet top, cilantro, arugula. Drink raw juices, such as wheatgrass, parsley, spinach, and beet. Black cherry juice, which that helps to alleviate the iron problems. Lemon juice and olive oil salad dressing can be really great for the liver. And digestive enzymes with meals. And using liver herbs, so such as milk thistle, yellow dock, burdock, black walnut, any of those kinds of detox, dandelion, any of those would be really good for this. And they would help with the slow detox. And, you know, a lot of times with the tiger striping, you know, don't think that when we're going through this, that that's all you're going to see in the eye. What we're looking for is we're looking for the subtype, the constitutional subtype. You're still going to see other things. You're going to see cramp rings here. You know, you might see, you know, these little lacuna, but the key is the main subtype, what you're going to see in the main subtype, because you have to figure out what they are first. And that helps so much, because then you can go through it and, you know, and they'll say, yes, you know, I have this and I have that. Or if they say, no, I don't have any of that, then you can figure out, well, okay, let's look again and figure out, you know, really what your subtype is, because that helps figure out the foods that they should be eating, and so on. Okay, so that's the tiger striping. Okay, and remember the hydrogenoid has those flocculations. Big, puffy flocculations all the way around. Now, these are more, in the mixed biliary, they're going to be more orange and browns. So they're not going to look, you know, they're not going to be white like they are in a blue eye, or even yellow in a blue eye. They're going to be darker, but they're still puffy. They still look like they're, yeah, they're going to look. And this is just one picture. So, you know, they're all going to be different, okay? But they are going to be big. And they're not necessarily always going to go around the whole eye, all right? They could be, you know, there may not be any up at the top or in certain areas of the body. But just remember, this is hydrogenoid in a mixed biliary eye. Okay, so lymphatic congestion, fluid...
When I be a eye individually, so will one eye be more predominant, one type, or can you have two different types of two different eyes?
Okay, so the question is, will both eyes be the same, or can one eye be one subtype and another eye be another subtype? Yes. And actually, I do have a one of the case studies we're going to do has the woman has two different subtypes, one in one eye and one in the other.
So what priority do you make it up? Does it matter what priority?
It makes no difference which priority. It's just one from the male, one from the female. Okay, so the male side is the right.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so the right eye comes from the father, and the left eye comes from her mother. So. Right. Okay. You know, and you're going to have more, like this, these eyes, you're going to have more flocculations on one side than you are on the other because the body is not identical on both sides, right? So it's not going to be exactly the same. So drink lots of water, skin brushing, daily exercise to move the lymph, avoid mucus-forming foods, wherever those tophi are showing up, you know, lymphatic massage will be very beneficial. Okay, so now let's look at a brown eye. So with a brown eye, we have tiger striping. That's pretty easy. All right. That's a real, true brown eye. That is a true brown eye. We do not see any fibers in there. We don't see any blue in there. We don't see any yellows in there. A brown eye, we don't see colors. Okay, we cannot see colors in a brown eye. A true brown eye. You have to assume they're there. And on a true brown eye, this outer ring here that's on the sclera, this kind of brownish ring on the sclera, is okay. It's okay. It's supposed to be normal. Okay, so we don't look at this and say, oh, you know, this is a problem. I mean, they still have the circulation ring on the outside. So you can see that on a brown eye. You can see a circulation ring. And a lot of times you can see hardening of the arteries. Okay, you can see the sodium ring. You can see, but, you know, other than that, you're not going to really see very much. You can see in here they've got some contraction furrows, and we can see that there are lacunae in here. But you're not going to see colors, oranges and yellows. And
this one's got a lot of lacunae.
Yeah. This one has lots of things going on. Okay, but this is the difference, big difference between a true brown eye and a mixed eye. And this has the tiger striping. You can see that it's lighter and darker and lighter and darker and lighter and darker. And, yeah, and to the naked eye,
I'm looking at this as small, and if I'm blowing it up, I go, I can see a lot better when I blow it up.
To the naked eye, this is going to almost look black.
Yeah.
And there really aren't very many true brown eyes around. There really aren't. Most, what I see the most, at least here in California, I see a lot of mixed eyes. I mean, I do see quite a few blues, but mostly what I see is mixed.
Can we ask a question? Sorry.
Yes, ask a question.
Would you say that the brown eye have any genetic tendencies, like, let's say, Asian or something like that?
You mean versus cultural? Okay, so I'm not understanding your question.
Well, I have lots of Asian patients.
But,
so
okay.
Most of them have brown eyes.
Well, you will find out that when you take their picture and you blow it up like this big, you're going to find that a lot of them are mixed.
Okay, that was my question.
Okay, so the question was, like Asians, do they have brown eyes? And what I find is that you think they do because when you stand in front of them, their eyes look brown. But when you take a picture of them and enlarge the picture, then you get to see all those pretty colors.
I think that you can't categorize most of my family is blue and green eyes, and you would think that they'd be just brown eyes.
It's very hard to categorize people by, you know, by where they live, because, you know, we are a melting pot, and, you know, we've got all these cross generations. You know, that's like, you know, Dr. Jensen, you know, when he talked about iridology, it was blue or brown. You know, there was none of this mixed. And so now as people are intermingling and marrying and having children, you know, we're getting all different eye colors and all different eye types, and, you know, it's amazing. Okay, so on this one, liver insufficiencies, digestive errors, possible difficulty with fat metabolism, and possible difficulty with iron absorption. Okay, avoiding fried foods, eating lots of bitter greens, drink raw juices, black cherry juice, lemon juice, digestive enzymes, liver herbs, and follow suggestions for the brown eye. Okay, so now we'll move on to the next slide here. We're going to practice. Okay, so let's look at these again. Lymphatic iris constitutional subtypes. Over acid. Blue eye with a lot of white. Okay. Febrile. A blue eye with white everywhere. Hot. Think of hot. So if you think of hot, then you know it's just white. Hot white. Okay. Hydrogenoid. A blue eye with flocculations. Okay. Uric acid diathesis. A blue eye with large swollen, they look swollen, flocculations. Okay. All right. Scirphrim. That is the dark rim around the outside on the iris. Okay. On a biliary iris constitutional subtype that we know has digestive weakness. We've got the tiger striping. So the striping that goes out from the center of the iris to the perimeter, brown striping. And hydrogenoid, there again, with those flocculations. Okay, and a brown iris, the tiger striping. And there again, we don't see anything on a brown eye, just the brown.
My question is that the lymphatic is pretty descriptive, got five different ones, but yeah. What happens if you have a biliary eye and you have the tiger striping and a large scirphrum? But there's no scirphrum type in a biliary. So
the question is what if you have a mixed biliary eye that has both a scirphrum and flocculations?
Tiger striping.
And tiger striping.
The tiger striping is definitely the subtype, but scirphrum is not the subtype for biliary. But yet you got a large scirphrum and you got tiger striping. So you can't really. So do you classify as tiger striping with the scirphrum added?
Well, if you have both, you're going to have to look at the eye to determine that. It's hard to do. It's hard to figure it out without looking at a picture.
There's no scirphrum type on a biliary, so you can't say biliary subtype scirphrum because according to this, there's no scirphrum subtype.
There's no scirphrum subtype on a biliary, but we're also going to be going through subtypes based on structure, and that may take care of that.
Oh, okay.
So we haven't gone through everything yet. Right now, all we've done is we've gone through the subtypes based on the color.
So you got the color and you got the structure. So where they might not fit in the color, they may fit in the structure.
Where they don't fit in the color, they may fit in the structure.
Okay, that's good. Okay, I'll wait.
Okay, so now let's go ahead and stop this and go ahead and do the practice. Okay, let's move on now to the next step, which is the lymphatic constitution subtypes based on iris structure. So now remember that it doesn't matter if it's a blue eye, a mixed eye, or a brown eye. All three of the colors have the same structural subtypes. Okay, so there's neurogenic, which is a silky pattern. Okay. Then there's anxiety tetanic. Anxiety tetanic are for those people that have nerve rings, contraction furrows, okay? Circular grooves, radial furrows, all right? The polyglandular, this is where somebody has like a daisy petal eye, okay? Their eye looks like a flower. They have a very, they have a lot of space, okay? Connective tissue, this is like my son's eyes, where it has a lot of space between the fibers and loose.
Not real tight.
Very loose structure. Okay, so now we're going to look at the different colors for each one of these. Okay, so here we have neurogenic. Okay, so this is a neurogenic subtype in a blue eye. All that means is that the iris fibers look silky. Okay, they can be a little wavy. They just look silky. It's a blue eye that looks kind of like silky.
Can he have a structural subtype as well as a color subtype?
We don't usually have both subtypes.
So this looks acid. This is like slightly acid.
We don't usually have both a subtype based on structure and a subtype based on color. Okay, so we have to determine, is it, what's the subtype? And then you can say, okay, this is a neurogenic subtype, and there's a little bit of acid that is in the, you know, in the iris. That's what we do. Okay. All right. So these people tend to be hard workers. They have strong drive. They're industrious, diligent. They work till they drop. They have a strong ability to resist disease, and they heal quickly. They do have weakness in the central and autonomic nervous system. They're usually intense people, very sensitive. They can have headaches, nervous system disorders, skin problems. They may have ulcers or vascular spasms. And they're usually sensitive and intuitive, kinesthetic. They have a hard time sitting for a long time. They need to exercise. Or they don't feel well. They're genetically strong people, always on the go, pushing to the brink, and they need to pace themselves and take time for quiet contemplation and meditation. Things to do for diet is avoid stimulants, okay, such as coffee, black tea, sugar, soft drinks, cigarettes, junk foods, alcohol. Eat foods high in the B's, okay, to support the nervous system. Now, as much as, you know, whole grains are high in B's, but depending on the acid, there again, legumes, brewer's yeast, rice bran syrup, lecithin, black walnuts, soaked nuts, mineral support, very important, green vegetables, nuts and seeds, stress reduction therapy, exercise, deep breathing, avoid loud noises, skin brushing. There's all kinds of things. Avoid eating late. It's really important is learn how to live with change, release negative emotions, keep a positive attitude. And there again, this is all in my notes. Okay, so that is a neurogenic subtype. So that's a blue eye with these little fine, little wispy fibers. Okay, here we have anxiety tetanic. I see lots and lots and lots and lots of anxiety tetanic. Okay, anxiety tetanic in a blue eye is a constitution that has cramp rings. And this picture doesn't have as many, but the problem with this is that they were kind of looking to the side. These are the cramp rings here. Yeah, these are the contraction furrows. Okay, so circular arcs throughout the eye, also called cramp rings. And this is caused by, like I talked about, where there's a lot of stress and the pupil opens and closes, and so it buckles the fibers. These people tend to have neuromuscular cramping, tense muscles, jaw clenching. So if you know anybody that has to wear, a night guard, if a dentist tells you that you're clenching your teeth at night, night guards are good, protect that. Tension can aggravate colitis, if you know anybody with colitis. Tachycardia, angina, circulatory disorders, TMJ, blood sugar problems. Notice the orange in the center. Remember when we see orange in the center? Okay, that has to do with blood sugar. These people tend to create a lot of their own stress. Sometimes they can feel victimized. They tend to be A-type personality. All you have to do is look at my eye. Okay? They're usually highly diversified. They're motivated. They're ambitious. But they will also work until they drop. They have a lot of irons in the fire, a lot of things going at the same time. They feel they are under a great deal of tension, which is usually something they create on themselves. They can have headaches, heart stress, thyroid problems, and muscle tensions. They tend to be anxious. So anything to help them relax, anything to help them relax. So this goes right along with the slide that we looked at on the contraction furrows. Try not to watch violence on television. That's a really big one. Sit down to eat the meals. Don't eat standing up, walking around, go through drive-thrus. Get the plate, sit down at the table, and take the time to eat. Okay, chamomile tea, avoiding caffeinated beverages. Make sure you get a good night's sleep. Okay, anything to support the nervous system. Very important. Okay, so anxiety tetanic has the rings. Okay, polyglandular. Polyglandular is going to look like a daisy petal eye. Okay, it's going to look like a flower. This is a type of person that's going to have, usually has weaknesses, what we would call weaknesses or lacuna all the way around. And sometimes, like here, you know, there are none. So sometimes people don't have them all the way around. But you can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, you know, they're all around. And so this is the kind of person that when they walk into your office, you don't want to sit there and go, okay, so you have a lacuna in the shoulder, and you have a lacuna in the heart, and you have a lacuna in the bronchioles, and you have a lacuna in the kidneys, and you have a lacuna, because they're going to just cry, okay, because you're basically telling them that they're, you're telling them that they're weak everywhere. And they may already know that they don't have a lot of stamina and they don't have a lot of energy and that they can't burn the candle at both ends. They don't have the energy to do that. They can try, but then they get sick. You know, this is the kind of person that can't stay up all night, right? The anxiety satanic can. They'll make themselves do it. They'll pay for it later. Okay, but this type, this structure, if they do, they'll get sick. They just know they just can't. They might have to drink two pots of coffee to do it, but then they're going to pay for it later. Okay, so we don't want to go through all of the areas that, you know, that are weak. So we say they're a polyglandular. They are more on the weaker side, and we work with them that way. Okay, but it's weaknesses in the glandular system. Okay, weaknesses in the intestinal system. Okay. Weaknesses in the heart, liver, and kidneys tend to be hypoglycemic. Okay, so there's pretty much weaknesses, you know, all over the body. All right, but these people tend to be very creative. Okay, and if they don't create, they can get depressed. They need that outlet. They need to create, to be artistic. So it's very important to encourage them to do what they love. Find what they love. When you sit down, talk to them, ask them, what do you do? If they're an accountant, say, really? You know, are you sure you want to be an accountant? You know, if you're an accountant by day, do you draw at night? You know, what do you do? What do you do to be creative?
Because if you do like a job interview, maybe look at your eyes first. You know? Look at your eyes and see, you know, and see how much latitude I can give you. Well, I need to, you know, as a boss, let's say, you're a creative side. I got to make sure that you be creative, more creative. Okay, when you come to my come with questions, I'm like, I'll let you be creative. So it's like,
it would be really nice if when you went to interview for a job, they said, let me look at your eyes and then I'll place you in your job. You know, because if they see that you have a creative side, then they can say, sure, we'll put you over here and you can do all the detail work. You can do all the work designing, right? Or if you have anxiety tetanic eye, we'll put you over here. You can do, you know, something that's more relaxing. Okay, so... let's see, we want to have these people eat foods that nourish the glands, okay, such as soaked nuts and legumes and sea vegetables and bee pollen and royal jelly, and avoid sugar and processed foods, eat small meals throughout the day. They want to keep that blood sugar balanced, Very important to keep the blood sugar, which is interesting because there's very little yellow in this eye, very little orange in this eye, but they do tend to have, I was looking to see if this person has a square wreath, because there is weakness, pancreas. Yeah. Okay, so.
It's actually square on three sides.
It is almost a square. So if you look at the pancreas areas, so there's 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and 10 o'clock. There are weaknesses. And it's, you know, you can almost make a square out of this wreath. Yeah, you can almost make a square out of it. So there you've got another sign there. Okay, small meals, bowel cleansing, digestive enzymes, support the glands, adrenals, thyroid, pancreas. And these people usually crave sweets, have a tendency to be hypoglycemic, and possible weakness in the heart, liver, and kidneys. So basically, just be kind to them when they walk in the door. I mean, you want to be kind to everybody, but when you see a polyglandular, you want to be extra kind to them. Yeah.
Be
extra kind. Okay, connective tissue. Lots of space. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention is personality-wise. You get somebody that is anxiety tetanic, they are going to be more, I hate to use the word rigid, but they're going to be more set in their ways, more A-type personality. And they're going to be maybe a little harder to get along with versus somebody like this. Okay, a connective tissue subtype. This person is, their body is going to be really weak. They're going to have a really hard time holding minerals, building, definitely a hard time cleansing. But this person, they're going to be easygoing. Okay, they're going to let things fall through the cracks, so to speak. Okay, that's... So when you see this type of eye structure, there again, you need to be very gentle, okay? Very gentle. And you could almost say this one here is a polyglandular because they do have large lacuna all the way around. But I picked this picture because of the space. There's just so much space. Lots of space and just, you know, really connective tissue problems. So very loose fibers with lots of lacuna, crypts, and openings. And there are... lots of lacuna, crypts, and openings in this iris. Collarette is usually erratic. It is. It's jagged. Okay, so we know about jagged. We know that jagged has up and down, up and down, up and down with their emotions, right? It's difficult to figure out what's strong and what's weak in this iris type, okay? But mainly you want to just really pay attention to connective tissue problems. So tendencies or weakness in elasticity, okay, possible prolapse of organs. So there you want to go and look at, see here if there is a flattening. And they do, okay, so they do have the flattening of the transverse colon here. And so in the past we've said maybe there'd be prolapse. The transverse colon could be prolapsed. Okay, so this is where you'd go back and ask this person all those questions, okay, that we talked about. They can have variscosities, hemorrhoids, hernias, spinal disorders, subluxations, scoliosis, sway back, postural problems. They injure easily. Things don't stay in place. So these people also tend to be very creative. Whereas an anxiety tetanic could be, an accountant or somebody that has a very, you know, detailed job. This type of person really would need a creative type of job. Okay, eliminate devitalized foods and avoid caffeine, sugar, alcohol, tobacco. Cabbage and cabbage juice are good to strengthen connective tissue. Eat lots of fruits and vegetables. Soak nuts, seeds, and legumes. Take bioflavonoids, especially rutin. Oat straw tea, horsetail herb. Silicon will help strengthen the connective tissue. I would even think comfrey would be good. Vegetable broths. potassium broths, plenty of rest, lots of breaks, and slanting boards to help with any prolapsed organs be very important. Okay, so let's move on to biliary. So now remember, it's the same subtypes: neurogenic, anxiety tetanic, polyglandular, connective tissue, but in a mixed biliary. So here's a neurogenic in a mixed biliary. So we already know it's a mixed biliary, and we know it has digestive weakness, and now we're seeing this neurogenic come in. Okay, so we're seeing the little wispy fibers, the silky pattern in here on a mixed eye. Okay, so probably even going to see some osseous netting in here. Okay, so hard worker, strong drive, industrious, it's the same. The information is the same, so I'm not going to go over it, but basically the same, it's a neurogenic. Very sensitive, intuitive, kinesthetic, okay, difficulty sitting for a long time. And when you see this, remember you're going to look for the fibers, to see this wispy fibers. Okay, anxiety tetanic. Now, how is that? Does that look cool or what? That is a really cool eye. Doesn't that look like, you know, when you cut a big tree? You cut a tree and you count the rings? Okay. One, two, three, four. This is my nephew. And he is 24. And he just graduated from UC Davis straight A's not that long ago. And he loves to learn. But he's very intense. He's a very intense person. Very, very intense person. And you can see it. Can't you just kind of feel it when you look at that eye? Can you just sort of feel the intensity? You can feel the intensity, can't you? He's very serious about things. Like when he gets into relationships, he jumps in full bore. You know, everything is just full bore. Like I said, UC Davis, just, you know, live, breathe. But, you know, on the side of that, he DJs for fun. So he does have an outlet. And, you know, these people, these anxiety tetanic people, they need an outlet. Okay, like I said yesterday, I love to garden. That's my outlet. I have to have something to help relax. Otherwise, it's go, 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 go. Okay?
But the thing about this, when you're go, 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 but when you relax, you do something you like, but you still go, 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 go on that. You try to do the best you can on that.
An anxiety tetanic person will go, go, go all the time, even when they're doing something they like. Even when they're doing something fun. Yeah. Yes, they will do that. Because that's just, they are a type A personality. And remember always to look, you know that this is causing nerve damage. Always look at where the contraction furrows start and stop, where they break. And a lot of times, an anxiety tetanic person will have radial furrows. And so you want to look at that. You want to look at the collarette to see. Now, this one's not broken. So, you know, that's interesting. It's not broken. So the radial furrows, and it does look square, doesn't it? One, two, three, four. So here we have another square collarette. So we know that there are issues with pancreas. We know that there's blood sugar. And we see the orange. Okay, so now you're able to see a lot of the things. You know, we are looking at iris structure, but you're also able to pull out even more than you could have before. This is a cord here, so we can see a cord down here at 5 o'clock. And we can see a closed lacuna here at 7 o'clock. And we can see some genetic defects, and we can see... We can see a circulation ring, the blue circulation ring on the outside. So you should be able to start picking apart, based on the things that we've talked about, you should be able to start picking apart things. This here, this is a looks like a double. It looks like there's two small lacuna next to each other,
yeah.
And we call those a stair step when there's one on top of the other. There are two. And when there's this, when there are two next to each other like this, that means that that deficiency is even more severe. Okay, so you want to pay particular attention to that. That's very important. Okay, that's very important. And that is in the thigh. That's in the thigh area. And this is interesting. This is the appendix area. That's interesting because he did have his appendix out. Oh, there was a question yesterday. So here, this answers that question. There was a question yesterday, if you have something removed from the body, will it change in the iris? And so it will never change because once you've removed something from the body, there's no more nerve energy going to that area. So here, the appendix was removed. So we can see the condition before. And which is really good because, you know, for somebody that's had their tonsils out, I had somebody said, ask me one time, I had my tonsils out, did I need to have them taken out? What do they look like? Well, they happen to be really dark. So I was able to say, yeah, it's probably good that you had them removed, you know. But if somebody asks you that, you have to decide if you want to step into that place. You know, that's your choice. Once you step into that place, you can't back out. So if you look at those tonsils and you say, oh, no, they should never have removed those, you know, that's going to cause quite a bit of stress. So you have to decide, in your practice, you have to decide what you are willing, how far you're willing to go, what you're willing to say to people, okay, and what you're willing to do. You know, are you going to be more superficial where you are just giving, you know, information or just general information? That's what I do on Facebook. I don't get into any details. I just go through and I give just the general characteristics and the tendencies and personality typing. I don't do anything else. If somebody wants more than that, I will do that privately. But I won't do that for everybody to read. So you kind of have to decide what you're willing to do. Do you have a question?
Yes. When we're looking at this, is this considered roping around the ring?
Okay, so the question is the collaret ropey? Yes, I would say that the collaret is definitely ropey.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome. Okay. Polyglandular. And we already know what a polyglandular is, right? We've learned that. So this is just a polyglandular in a mixed biliary. Big difference between a polyglandular in a lymphatic eye, a blue eye, versus a polyglandular in a mixed biliary eye. Yes, they have a scirpherem. Am I going to call that a scirpherem subtype? No. No, but it isn't. But it is. Okay, you had a question. Can somebody have two different iris structures, one based on color and one based on iris structure? Can they have two different subtypes? So no, we're going to have one subtype. It's either going to be based on iris structure or it's going to be based on color. So we're not going to say this is both a polyglandular and a scirpherem subtype. We can have it in there.
Okay, that's the question I had originally. And you said, no.
So we do have a scirpherem. So you're going to tell the person, this is a polyglandular subtype, and you have a scirpherem.
Right, but it's not a scirpherem subtype, though, because it's by definition it's
right.
Lymphatic, right?
Right. Okay, so everybody can see that this is a polyglandular. Weaknesses all around. But notice, there's nothing in these areas here. That doesn't matter. It's still a polyglandular. Still looks like a flower with a lot of petals.
Like,
Okay, connective tissue in a biliary eye. Now, this one here, this might actually even be a brown eye, but there is some blue in here, but we also have the brown on the sclera, so this may be more of a brownish eye. It's hard to tell, but we can see all of this going on in here, lots and lots and lots. Yeah, you can see the blue in here. Okay, you can see lots and lots of space in between. Okay, normally a connective tissue is going to have lots of space. Lots and lots of space. So you can see this would not be an anxiety tetanic, would not be a neurogenic, would not be a polyglandular, because there's space everywhere. And you're going to find that, like I talked about already, you're going to find that you're going to have, your clientele is going to be similar. You know, you're going to get the same type of clientele over and over based on where you live. Based on, I think it has to do with where we live. Based on the type of clients that you draw to you. Okay, so a brown eye, same thing. Neurogenic, anxiety tetanic, polyglandular, connective tissue. Okay, neurogenic. So this is a brown eye, and it's you can see there's tiger striping in here. But it does look like it has very fine structure, silky structure. So especially on the computer, you can't see it as well on the screen. But you can see it more on the computer, that it does have more of a silky texture. It is hard to see. I really don't see this very. I don't see a neurogenic subtype in a brown eye hardly, very much at all. Anxiety tetanic. I see this all the time. Okay, anxiety tetanic in a brown eye. Contraction furrows do look white on a brown eye. Yeah. Very easy to see. So everybody can see that. Polyglandular. And it's really hard to see this on the screen. I think we have too much light. Okay. Oh, that's much better. So now on the screen, now we can definitely see that it's a polyglandular. Lacunas all around. There's no lacunas here, but they're right here. They're going all the way around. I hardly ever see this, a polyglandular in a brown eye. I hardly ever see this. But like I said, I hardly ever see a brown eye. I see brown eyes when I work expos, and when I have a large amount of people coming to either a class or an expo, someplace where I've got a gathering with a lot of people, then I might get a brown eye, 1 out of 20, maybe. In my area. But normally, somebody that thinks they have a brown eye, they have a mixed eye. Okay, so that is the polyglandular in a brown eye. And a connective tissue in a brown eye. Definitely. No question about that. Look how different that is. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. There's a lot going on in this with this person. Are you going to list everything? No. I mean, you just can't. You just can't. You just say, okay, you look at this person and you say, you need to build. You really need to build. We need to strengthen your stomach and your colon, and make sure that you're absorbing your minerals, and make sure you've got your enzymes and your probiotics, and then just, you know, put them on a good vitamin supplement and minerals, and make sure they're getting the nutrients they need. Supporting those adrenals is very important.
There's so many in there, it's hard to even see where the collarette is, and especially in some areas.
The collarette goes right around.
It's like blends.
It blends, yeah. It kind of flat here, and it goes around like this. There is roping. There's a double collarette right here on the bottom. And then we go around the side, and it's very thick here on the 3 o'clock. And then we go up. It comes flat, and then we have a little bit here. And it goes around. Yep. Question? Say that again, please. Yes, a double collarette, there's a meaning to that. It has to do with the nerve. That means that there's a double nerve supply in that area over irritation, over agitation to that area, anything that's adjacent to it. So in this person, let's look at that. Let's figure out what that area is. This is the left eye. So this would be at 5 o'clock. So this can affect the... pelvis, ovaries. Might be abdominal wall area. You know, I could spend hours just looking at this eye. This is a very good eye to practice with and, you know, find all the different. I mean, this has defects. This has crypts. This has pretty much everything in it. Enlarged pupil. It has flattening. There's flattening going on here. Superior temporal flattening. It's got some flattening going on over here. Inferior temporal flattening. It's kind of an oblong pupil, so you know that there's flattening going on up here as well. Superior nasal, and then there's going to be inferior nasal flattening. So you've got flattening going up and down on the side, so definitely needs work. And then, of course, we can pick it apart. Circulation ring, and no scurfrim, no problems with cholesterol or heart of the arteries, anything like that. But definitely needs help, loose bowel, huh? And also the collarette going in and out, so we know moody, okay? One day up, one day down, one day good, one day not. Here's a stricture here at the colon, so probably some problems there at the transverse colon. Maybe some pressure on the organs, you need to ask. All kinds of things going on in here. This is right at the heart area, so I would imagine that there's maybe irregular heartbeat because this is a really thick rope here at the heart, and it would be inflamed. So we can't see white because it's a brown eye, but we can see that it's thick, and so there may be some issues with heart and inflammation towards the heart. Yeah. And I have to say, that's a really tough one. The heart, and I, most people that I talk to, sitting down and talking to somebody about their heart is different because we hold our emotions in our heart, and people don't want to hear that they have a problem with their heart. It's a tough one. It's a hard one to talk to people about. So there again, you have to decide, you know, how far you're willing to go. And, you know, that may depend on the person that's coming to you, how you feel when they walk in the door, the questionnaire that you use ahead of time, you know, what they say on the questionnaire, what they want to learn. They may tell you, I have irregular heartbeat, I need help, you know, or I've got circulatory problems, I need help, or, you know, whatever it is. But the heart is a very, very sensitive area for people. And a lot of people don't want to hear about their heart, that they've got issues there. Or potential, I need to say that, potential issues in their heart. Okay, so we're going to practice. Determine the constitutional subtype. So it's either going to be neurogenic, anxiety tetanic, polyglandular, or connective tissue. So you already know if it's a blue, a mixed, or a brown eye. And now you get to determine if it's neurogenic, anxiety tetanic, polyglandular, or connective tissue. All right, so now let's move on to the next step. Which is lipemic diathesis, corneal sign. And this is also going to be in all three, the lymphatic, the biliary, and the brown, the hematogenic. This is one of those ones that people have having issues with. Okay, so we've been taught from Jensen and before and after that this is a cholesterol ring, and that if you change your diet and you eat right, that this ring will go away. Okay, this is a cholesterol ring. This is hardening of the arteries and a cholesterol ring. And like I said, I said before, Stanford did a study and said that when they see this ring on the eye, that a person is more apt to have a stroke. Now, the new research coming out is saying that this is a corneal sign, that it doesn't leave the eye, has nothing to do with our diet. Okay? Diathesis, the definition of diathesis is in the state of having a hereditary predisposition to a disease. Okay, so remember we're looking at genetics. So what they're saying is that if you have this ring on your eye, that means that you have a predisposition to having this problem. Okay, lipemic is to be in a state of having lipemia, or the presence of fats or lipids in the blood, specifically hypercholesterolemia. Try to say that one four times really fast. Or high cholesterol. Okay, so in other words, if you have this in your iris, that means that your heredity is that you're going to have high cholesterol and hardening the arteries and the possibility of stroke. Okay, so we already know that because we've known that as an iris sign. But it's just sort of more difficult putting it in these terms, you know, to tell somebody that, your heredity is showing that you have the possibility of having a stroke. You know, I don't know if I want to say that to somebody. I'm going to say, and I do have a client that, in the pictures that I brought, I do have a client that had brown eyes with a very bright white ring, and they had a stroke and died. So I do have that. We do have that. So will this person that has this lipemic diathesis, will they have a stroke and die? Is it 100%? Who knows? You know, can diet change it? Sure, diet should be able to make a difference. Lifestyle, diet, exercise, you know, all those things should be able to change that. Will it change the sign in the iris? No. This corneal sign will not go away. Okay? It's a fatty material that covers the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh zones. Corneal sign, not an iris sign, composed of lipids and fats. But potential tendencies for this person is high cholesterol, fats in the blood, cerebral insufficiency, pulmonary blockages, coronary blockages, ventral arcus can show sufficiencies of the hip, thigh, leg arteries, tendency for liver dysfunction, glucose metabolism problems, tendency for cardiovascular degeneration, cardiovascular risk is more significant when this ring is seen in people 30 to 40 years old versus a 7-year-old. Okay. And, you know, I see all different levels of this, you know, thicknesses. I see all types of these rings. So, you know, suggestions for foods, avoid inorganic minerals such as table salt, dolomite, oyster shell, eliminate red meats, fat, pork, fried foods. This all makes common sense. Dairy products, coffee, alcohol, non-dairy creamers, processed foods, white bread, black tea, tobacco. Increase vegetables, use supplements high in cholesterol, wheatgrass juice, blue-green algae, chlorella. Eat fiber-rich foods to help reduce serum cholesterol. Use pure virgin olive oil. Lots of exercise and so on. Okay, so that's lipemic diathesis in a blue eye, in a lymphatic eye. Okay, so here we have lipemic diathesis in a biliary eye. And you can see it. Now, of course, it's not yellow. It's not orange. It's not as bright. We would be more apt to call this a sodium ring. This person used a lot of salt in their diet. Without tasting it, you just shake the salt all over. This person did have stroke, did have heart of the arteries, did have stents put in, lots of stuff going on. Okay, so definitely issues with the entire circulatory system. But you can see the ring can look different. And here's on a brown eye. Okay. Now this one has the arc. This is the arcus senilis here. Has the arc at the top. So problems with memory, problems with circulation to the brain, probably vision problems, hearing problems, all kinds of problems. But this one here is more white. So this is causing quite a controversy because, you know, we've always known this as a marking that will go away. And we're being told that it never leaves the eye. Now, I have never seen it leave the eye. I have to say that I have never seen it leave the eye. So I'm going to agree with them that it doesn't leave the eye. And so if you see somebody that has this, the key is watching. The key on this, I think, is taking pictures and watching it, see if it changes, see if it gets worse. Or, you know, see if you do see change, if it gets better or worse.
It doesn't go away, is it lighten up?
I've never seen it change.
At all, either way?
No. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it got worse. I haven't seen it get better. I haven't seen it change.
So you've got to assume that if you're doing something right, that you're doing something right without even showing no evidence of change.
I haven't seen this.
Just assume that what you're doing is going to help and helping it.
You have to assume that how you're changing your diet and what you're doing, the exercising that you're doing, is working. And then the only other way that I know is, you know, is having blood tests or muscle testing and having live blood cell testing and all any other kind of testing that you can do. Yeah, and go that way. That's the only way that I know. Okay, so the question is, does anybody have this sign in their eye? So let's stop the slides and do the practice.